What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Crack your earbuds for the Listen Money Matters podcast, where we provide incredible money management tricks. I mean, illusions. For more information, visit listenmoneymatters.com. And now, here are your hosts, Matt and Andrew.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Listen Money Matters, the podcast from listenmoneymatters.com. My name is Matt, and I'm here with Andrew, as always. Andrew, how are you, sir?
Good. Good, Matt. How are you?
Good. What is that? What are you drinking? I see a black cup. I see a red Cuba Libre. A Cuba Libre.
Yeah, solo cup, keeping it classy.
It looks like dark red wine in a red solo cup. That's really classy.
Can you see inside there? It's like a...
Oh, ice cube. I thought it was like little tiny like wine bubbles. No?
It's very strong, dude. My hair might light on fire.
Okay. Well, today we have a guest on the show and co-host. It's Rebecca from StaplerConfessions.com. You can check her out there at her website. And Rebecca, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Very good. So today we're going to dive into the conversation about paying off student loans. And as a confession, I have never gone to college, so don't have any student loans. And I'm very happy that I don't. And Andrew, I actually thought you did it because you did go to college, right?
I did. Yeah.
But you don't have any student loans.
No.
Because why? Spill
because
it.
My daddy was very nice.
Did your parents like save up for you like when they were like when you were born and like put money aside so that you could go to college one day?
Something like that. But I went to a state school that was also very cheap.
Community college?
Not community college. It was NJIT. So it's like in Newark. And just to get people to go to Newark, not even for school, is tough.
Yeah. Wait, so is that the New Jersey? That's true.
So you can imagine. They were almost paying me to go there, yeah.
Cory Booker.
He's actually pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. So is that New Jersey Institute of Technology?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And Rebecca, where did you go to school?
Oh, I went to, I went to undergrad at University of Rochester up in upstate New York.
Okay.
And then I went to a University of California law school. I actually graduated from undergrad with zero student loans.
Wow.
So that's a four-year college, right? Is that what that means? Okay. Mm-hmm. So how did you do that? Yeah.
Well, I got some scholarships, and I was an RA. And so that paid for my half my room and board. And then my parents paid the rest.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much is it, like, on average? I'm being totally honest when I say I have no idea how much college costs. So, like, a standard four-year, like, degree, and I know it's different for private and state, because Andrew just mentioned it, but what's the average going rate right now?
Well, 15 years ago is when I graduated, and it was $45,000 a year.
Whoa, a year?
Yeah. Rochester is like a legit school, dude. That is a good school.
Holy shit. Wait.
They give some really good discounts, so that's just the sticker price.
That's $180,000 and for a four-year degree.
Right, but we didn't pay that. So
okay.
They give you a scholarship just for getting a certain SAT score.
Oh.
Comes off the top, and then you get, you know, if you're an RA, you get some knocked off of there too.
Okay. So when you're an RA, it gets knocked off of the price of what you pay. Mm-hmm. You're not getting paid to be an RA, which you just used for your, okay.
Yeah.
But she has to deal with drunk students being like crazed. So that's worth a lot.
Oh, wait. RA means you're like a resident and you like a resident advisor. So you take care of like the floor or like in the dorms where people live.
She has a boss and their friend. That shit's tough, dude.
I was thinking of a TA. You know, I had a friend, I used to go to visit my friend Carlson at college, and we were friends with his RA, and it was, like, weird, because he was a drinker, too, and it's like, well, he also had to be, like, laid down on the law, but also was, like, pretty lenient, which is, it's weird.
Yeah, it's fine. I just have a closed-door policy, and everything turned out fine.
Excellent.
Their door was closed, and, you know. None of it was spilling out in the hallways. I didn't have to deal with it. So
you ended up graduating without any debt,
right?
For that 4 years. How did you, like, were you working to pay that off during school?
I had some work study, but that was just for my personal spending money.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then the problem happened when I went to the law school.
All right. So you went, and this is called a, what is, what's going to law school called? Is that it?
Going to law school.
Isn't it? It's like, you got a doctorate?
Yeah, it's a JD. It's not a real doctorate. Like, some people go and get their PhD, and it takes them years and years. And it just took us 3 years to get through.
Okay.
And then usually it goes master's and then PhD, but right. For a law school it goes JD and then a master's. It's backwards. So
are you an Esquire?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. So, all right. I can't imagine. And you can say this or not, but how much did that cost?
Well, when I applied, it was $14,000 a year for tuition, and then they include living expenses because you're not allowed to work your first year of law school.
Oh.
By the time I was in my third year of law school, I was paying $21,000 a year, and I graduated with about $125,000 in loans by the end of it.
Why did the cost go up? Was that like more expensive wine?
It was because when I started, this is the University of California school system, and we were funded 70% by the state of California, and then by the time I was in my third year, we were funded 30% by the state of California.
Oh,
yeah. So now tuition there is actually $48,000 a year, just for the tuition. So it's more than doubled since I graduated.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So... All right, so you're oh, Jesus, I can't even. It's so expensive. All right, but you got a job working in law, I imagine, because of you went to school and you paid all this money. I would hope that would happen, and now you can use that money to pay off your student loan. So how much I have a friend. This is the only way I can relate to you. Is he went to, like a private school, and I think when he got out, his student debt was about $80,000, and he pays like the maximum amount he can pay per month to try to get it paid off in 10 years. And what sucks is for the next 10 years out of college, he can't move because he has to live at home in order to like meet these payments, which is as much as like a mortgage payment.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm sure that there are mortgages that are lower than I. So the biggest problem is that I married my law school sweetheart. So he has the same amount of debt as I do.
Uh-huh.
And so now we started off with just under $250,000 in student loans.
Jesus.
So I know people with mortgages that have have mortgaged less.
Yeah.
Their payments each month are less than ours on just our student loans. And then on top of paying for our student loans, we have to pay for our rent. So
right.
At least
but you invested in yourself, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of
The problem with law school is it's one of those industries that where the return on your investment is getting smaller and smaller. I mean, it's not when I started. I mean, there were plenty of people who said, "Don't go to law school," yada yada yada. And I was determined to be a public interest lawyer, and there are public interest loan forgiveness programs that I was hoping to take advantage of. So I knew I wasn't going to make a lot of money. My husband and other people who were going into law thought that they would be making $120,000 their first year when they graduated. And so if you're making that kind of money, then it is something that you can pay off
right.
in a reasonable amount of time. But the market crashed, and there are a lot of out-of-work law school graduates, and when you do get a job, you're not going to typically get those six-figure jobs right out of law school at this point, unfortunately, for people with the debt. But
right,
that
is a terrible thing. I know people that have gone through that, so it's not, it's sad. It really is because they pay all this money, and then they think they're. I mean, you pay the money to get a job. Otherwise, what's the friggin' point of going to college? You know what I mean?
Oh, to learn stuff.
Yeah, but you wouldn't pay money to learn stuff if you weren't going to make money afterwards, because then how would you pay it? You know what I mean?
True, yeah.
And it's sort of this like cycle that they just kind of cut off, you know, at one side it. So how are you currently working to get this student loan paid off?
So one thing that we were doing was I would take all of our extra income and put it aside, and at the end of the month I would just empty our whole bank account into one of the loans, and we would just target one loan at a time. Okay. And try to pay one off. We were doing the lowest balance first, the snowball method that Dave Ramsey talks about.
Right.
Where you pick off the smallest amount and you just try and get rid of your monthly payments. Because with a student loan, it's like a mortgage where even if you still owe $100 on your mortgage, that's not true. But so if you still owe $50,000 on your mortgage, your payment is going to be the same as when you started on your mortgage. Even if your mortgage was $200,000 at the beginning.
It's amortized, so you pay the interest up front. And,
Yes. It's not like a credit card debt where if you start paying it off and your balance shrinks, then your minimum monthly payment also shrinks. So for that reason, we started paying off the smallest balance loan so that we could get rid of a monthly payment.
Right.
Our goal was to take our monthly payments from, I think we have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7 monthly payments.
I thought you were going to say $7,000. I was going to
7 monthly payments.
Joker. 7
monthly payments it's $1,300. And so then we knocked one out last year, and so now we have $1,200, I think that's what it is at this point. Nice. But now we have one less monthly payment, and I got laid off a few months ago. So to us, it gives us better financial stability because we have one fewer payment that we have to make every month.
What are the terms on these student loans? Do they say you have to pay it off within 15 years?
If you have a shit ton of loans, then you get 30 years to pay them off. If you have less than a shit ton, I don't know what that is because I don't have that. Then you get 10%.
You definitely have a shit ton, yes.
Past that threshold, we're in the 30-year repayment plan. My husband, he works for a nonprofit. He's in the income-based repayment plan because there is a public service loan forgiveness program where if you qualify for an income-based repayment program, then your monthly payments are reduced. And so you're going to be paying more over the life of your loan. But if you work for a nonprofit for 120 months while you're making these payments, then the rest of your principal will be forgiven.
Wow. That's a lot of money forgiven there.
It is. So if you look at his, it's only for federal consolidated student loans. So if you look at his federal loan is $74,000, and he's paying, I think it's $430 a month on it. It's based on income and based on what your loan balance is. Then if he continues along that path, I think it's something like $50,000 that's going to get forgiven.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. So if he does this, and I'm guessing he's well on his way to achieving this.
I hope so. He's about.
but after he does this and he gets it forgiven, does he have to stay as a public servant, or can he become a $50 million a year lawyer like in the movies?
Yes, he can. He can go make bank if he wants.
Interesting.
So. After 120 payments, you're free.
do you have any loans that you can't overpay on?
No, we could pay as much as we wanted on any of them, and we wouldn't be penalized for paying them early.
Because there are loans like that, right?
I don't know about student loans, because student loans are special snowflakes in the world of loans.
So if you declare bankruptcy, all of your things go away except for your student loans. They stay with you until you die.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. But that, like, you can't get rid of them.
You till you die. So that is also unique.
Wait, you know, what was that?
If you have credit card debt, then your estate has to pay your credit card debt. But if you die and you have student loan debt, then nobody has to pay them. So that's good.
Oh, does it get passed on to next of kin?
No, nothing ever gets passed on to the next of kin. It's just that your estate would have to pay it.
So the lesson is don't pay your student loan with credit cards.
Oh, well, that's a whole different issue. I mean, you pay your student loan off with your credit card, then you could declare bankruptcy and get your credit card debt forgiven. But I didn't say that.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Oh, my God. So you have seven different loans that you're paying every month. Are they all different interest rates?
Yes.
And, like, what do they vary? And
sure.
Well, go ahead. What do they vary?
It goes from 2.5% to 5.5%.
Oh, so they're not terribly high.
No, they're not. The federal loans are the highest. But the lowest ones are variable rates. So any day now, they'll probably start going up. So that's also why we wanted to target those first, because they're kind of a ticking time bomb. At 2% interest, it's not so bad. But once the prime rate goes up, those loan interest rates are going
to
go up.
Well, so that was – I was going to ask why you decided to pay off the lowest balances first rather than the lowest or the highest interest rates one first.
Yeah, because of that reason, and because we wanted to get rid of a monthly payment. In order to get rid of our highest balance, our highest interest rate one, we'd have to pay off $72,000.
Oh.
Wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So.
Right.
And also the federal loans have a few more protections for people than the private student loans. So those lower balance ones and the lower interest ones, those are private ones.
Okay. And why is that? What offers more protection in what sense?
Well, you have more repayment plans. You can go on the income-based repayment. You can defer them if you have an economic hardship. You can defer them for, I think, 2 years.
Wow.
You could go on the public service loan forgiveness plan if you wanted to. The private student loans, they don't have those kinds of protections.
So you're just basically saving all your extra money that you make per month and using it all towards those student loans, just like you would if you had a shit ton of credit card debt.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm really kicking myself that we didn't start doing that until last year. But we started doing that last year. It felt great. I got laid off, so it's been kind of on the back burner. But now with the new year, we've made a resolution to get back on the wagon and pay off another loan.
And how long do you think you have until you're paid off?
Right now with my current employment status.
Right. That's
it could be anything. I used to sit there at work knowing what my salary was and what my husband's salary was and try and figure out when we could have it done.
Yeah.
And on that plan, you know, it was like a 2-year plan to get the private loans all done. And then we'd be sitting there with the federal loans, which is, you know, they'd be like $100,000, $125,000 at that point, which I felt like was a lot more manageable than what we're looking at now.
Yeah. Interesting.
So,
I'm curious, do you have like an emergency fund or something, or do you literally put everything into the loans?
Yeah, we do have an emergency fund. And all along before last year, we were contributing to our Roth IRAs. And so I've started to treat my Roth IRA as our true emergency fund. You can withdraw the principal without penalty from a Roth.
Right.
So I felt like if it was a true emergency, we would do that. But we also have, you know, we have a savings account for like big expenses that would come up on an annual basis, like our life and our disability insurance payments, and we save up for vacation and stuff like that. So there's really few things that I thought would be a true emergency. So we started putting them into the Roth. And so we have a good nest egg there for retirement, hopefully. But for true emergencies, we have that.
Are you doing anything extra to pay off your student loans? Are you are you selling shit on Craigslist or, I don't know, some sort of like way to make – I don't know. It can be shady, too. I don't, you know. Are you selling drugs?
Weed, yes. Selling weed to high schoolers.
No, it's so tame over here. Yeah, I mean, some months I would say, okay, this month I'm going to make some extra money, and I would, like, clear out our stuff. We'd have a yard sale. I'd consign clothes. I did a post about consigning clothes online, how you can just, you know, clear out your closet and put a bunch of stuff in a bag, as long as they're name brands, and this one place will assess it and pay you for it if they want it.
Is Old Navy a name brand?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't think they do men's clothes, actually. I think it's just women's clothes.
Well, and first of all, I have like 3 pairs of pants, but my wife, I think we might be sitting on $1 million right
wow.
now.
Wow.
Yeah. Right now I have 2 closets, so.
Yeah, like consolidate and sell. Yeah. So. Yeah. So you're doing any little bit that you can in order to get some extra money, and you're putting that money towards – that's the idea of just putting your money towards the student loan debt.
Yeah. This year we've resolved to first max out our 2013 IRA contribution because we have until April 15th to do it. And then after that we're gonna put another loan in our crosshairs and try and kill it. Cool. We can. Yeah.
It sounds like it's stressful.
It is stressful. Because, you know, at least what we say is at least with a mortgage, you can live in the house.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's hard to have rent payments on top of having the student loan payments. And it has affected the decisions that we've made in our lives. Like, it really, it makes you, you know, limit your choices in your career. I mean, as a lawyer, I wanted to do public interest, and I wanted to work for a nonprofit. But the nonprofit jobs pay something like $40,000 if you're lucky.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Your public defenders and your district attorneys, even in major cities, they're not going to be earning more than, you know, $45,000 a year. And paying $1,300 a month with student loans plus, you know, our rent, which right. I won't tell you because it's ridiculous because we live in a major city. It's just not feasible. We also have a son in preschool, so it just makes it not feasible to do the kind of dream job that you may have gone to law school to do in the first place.
So you're sacrificing.
Yes. So
for your own education, that is what you...
Exactly.
It seems like it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's a vicious...
vicious cycle.
Struggle. Yeah, yeah. So emotionally, it really helps to get some of these loans like off our shoulders, and we feel like we can increase our financial freedom that way.
Right.
Literally. Because we've decided we have he's almost 4, mm-hmm. One child, and, you know, we wanted to have another, but we just couldn't afford it, with these kind of student loans. And it's really sad when you think about, you know, how we were living our lifestyle. We, you know, were spending money here and there and on things that were fine. But, you know, we'd much rather have a second child than go out to eat, you know, 3 times a month.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So now that we stopped doing that and we started cutting our budget down, we're actually happier that way. And we feel like we're putting our, you know, money where our priorities are.
Right.
So I have to ask you, how do you guys do your budget? Like, do you have a... a tool or a trick?
Oh, jeez.
I Excel.
Excel?
Google Docs. I mean, Google Drive.
Right.
Always looking at our budget. So I wanted to have it accessible in the cloud, you know, wherever I was. So I just set it up in Excel. I usually update it twice a year. When I got laid off, we updated it. And then I use Mint to track our expenses.
That's what I think you were fishing for, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was fishing for Mint.
Like, please
I love
say
it.
Use
it.
Yeah.
I've been using it for years. It's awesome. And if you'll see on my blog, I post monthly financial updates and I do screenshots from Mint. Mm-hmm. It's a little tricky sometimes with Mint, but I'm working with it. I'm hoping to try to set it up so that this month, like, everything's in there and we can actually track our net worth. So
cool. So yeah. So since you brought up the blog, what's like the main purpose of your blog? Is it to keep you like honest on your like payment cycle? Like, I mean, what's the,
I don't know. I just love to talk about, this shit. And my sister is a blogger and she said, you have to start a blog. There are 2 things I love to talk about. I love to talk about student loans as much as I hate them and, you know, budgeting and finance stuff and saving money. And I also love to talk about deals at Staples, because there's kind of there's a way you can work it so that you can even make money buying stuff there. You can get a lot of stuff for free. And my sister, who's she's a lifestyle blogger, you know, home decor and kind of a mommy blog, but more home decor. She suggested that I start a blog with my Staples deals, because I look at coupon blogs all the time and I would say, well, that's an all right deal, but if you do it, you know, this way or that way, you can get a much better deal. And so she heard me say that a few times, and she was like, well, why don't you just put it out there and see if anybody's interested? So I did that, but I also love to talk about being frugal and, you know, how we're paying off our student loans, and I definitely need the accountability to, you know, get those loans.
That's important. Yeah.
So that's cool.
Very multiple personalities. But
I didn't know that Staples, you can make money buying shit from Staples.
Yes, definitely.
Can you give us a rundown? Like, I thought when you buy things from Staples, like, they take your money.
Right. Well, they take your money. So you have a little bit of an investment at the beginning. But for example, the other week, they would, you have to be ready to do a rebate. The other week, if you bought a $200 Visa card, gift card, they would give you a $10 rebate or $20 rebate. I forget what it was. But so you buy the Visa gift card and you pay a $495 fee, and then you submit the rebate and you get $10 back in the mail. So what do you have at the end? You have a $200 Visa card, and you have a $10 check, and you're out $4.95. So you've just made $5.05.
You have to do that a lot of times to pay off your student loans.
What's that?
You have to do that many times to pay off your student loan. Can you pay your loans off with a Visa check card?
Right. Well, okay. So maybe that's a bad example, because there are other examples where you could use, so say they have pens for free after rebate. Uh-huh. Okay. So you go in and you buy the pens with a coupon. Your coupon is a dollar off. And then you walk out and you send in the rebate and you get back the same amount that the pens were worth before you used the coupon. Again, it's just making a dollar, but at least you also have pens at the end of it.
Maybe you could sell them to Commerce Bank or TD Bank. They have a huge need for pens.
Sometimes I just have a yard sale and I sell them for a buck and then I make a buck that way too. Huh, but sometimes the stuff I need, like, they have free batteries all the time, and they have free printer paper all the time. So,
I did not know that. I try not to buy anything.
I have a whole section on my blog about how to do it. I'm hoping to write an ebook soon about the whole system, rolling your Staples rewards into cash.
Oh, you should definitely do that.
I was going to say, what are you waiting for? Now, seize carpe diem, seize the day.
Yes, coming out next week.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could do that. You could sell a lot with that. You can use that money to pay off your student loans, and it's going to take us some time.
I would. I mean, if I could get that off the ground, it would be going towards our student loans. I mean, I'm really trying to hustle this year to get two loans paid off. That would be $24,000 and two monthly payments of almost $200. It would just be awesome be able to do that.
So let me ask, do you have any like tips or advice that you could give people who are struggling with student loans, or even if they're not struggling with student loans, maybe they just have them and they're just looking to get them paid off quicker? So do you have any advice for those people?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always this question in people's minds whether they should pay off their student loans or they should contribute to their retirement accounts, because student loans are at a lower interest rate than you can typically make in the market. There's that question. You know, people will say, oh no, I should put it in the market and make 10% on average on my money instead of, you know, and just keep paying these student loans, which are only 3 or 4 or 5%. But my advice is to go with your gut, because speaking from the perspective of somebody who has too many law school loans, you know, my gut says I want to get rid of at least some of these in order to sleep better at night about my finances, in order to feel like I can have some choice in my career and in my family. So if you feel like they're so big that they're getting you down emotionally, then you should get rid of them. And you should start with whatever is going to make you feel better. If it's going to make you feel better to reduce your principal, then go for the ones that have the higher interest rates. If it's going to make you feel better to get rid of a monthly payment, then go for the ones that are the lowest balance. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just going with your gut.
Yeah. And I, and since you have seven of them, I can imagine going after the one, going like wanting to minimize your the amount you pay out per month or as many bills as you pay per month is a was appealing.
Yes. Although, I mean, I will say, I mean, they're all automated. So they're the easiest bills to pay in the sense like of physically paying them because right. I don't literally physically pay them at all. I mean, they just come out of my bank account automatically.
And you're paying the minimums on all of them except the one that you're trying to pay off.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's hard because so my husband is in a nonprofit, so he has to pay this income-based repayment amount, which is lower than even the minimum balance is for a 30-year repayment, which is hard. But our thought process was we don't know if, you know, if he'll be there for 10 years, but we don't want to be looking back at those 10 years and say, oh, gosh, I wish we had been on the right plan. Because we could have gotten $50,000 paid off.
Right.
So if you think you're going to go, if you're in public interest now, I definitely recommend getting on the income-based repayment program as soon as you can. It takes them 3 months to get their act together. If your loans aren't consolidated yet, it gets them 3 months to get their shit together. So
that's better than a DMV.
It's right? Awful. They are really awful, these student loan servicers. As an attorney working in consumer law, I do hear a lot of horror stories. And this process can get easily fucked up. So right. Once you get that nonprofit job, you consolidate and then you get on your income-based repayment plan and just keep that going as long as you're in that nonprofit. And you may look back at 10 years and say, oh, it's time to get them forgiven. Yay.
Right.
$50,000 present to me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But what's that, in 30 years, though?
10 years.
It's only 10 years, so it's not too bad.
120 payments.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Well, I mean, I think that kind of covers everything as far as – I mean, I'm sure there's a shit ton we could cover, like a shitload of other things. But as far as getting your student – if you have student loans currently and you're looking to pay them off – you can either do what you're currently doing, Rebecca, is the paying off the – since you have so many of them, paying off the lowest – the one with the lowest balance first just so now you have six. And it's like you don't have to pay off seven anymore. And it does feel better. And I think that is Dave Ramsey's, right? That's the snowball effect you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Or you could go the other route, which is interest rates. But it seems like the interest rates aren't as like crazy – different, like as with credit cards, like you would have a 18% interest credit card and then a 10% interest one where it's like, oh, well, duh, you should probably pay off the 18% interest one because that's insane. But and I don't think anyone has $100,000 on a single credit card. So
Except for Jay-Z.
Well, perhaps Jay-Z. Yeah, definitely Beyonce with all those shoes.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, Rebecca, it was nice talking to you. And
thanks
if
for
you,
having me.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have you again. I'm sure we want to do so many more of these. And it's Rebecca at staplerconfessions.com. I really like the whole Staples, like actually making money from a corporation. That's pretty awesome. And frugal.
It's quite a thrill. I mean, it's really thrilling. It's like when you coupon and you make money off of couponing, it's a lot of fun. It's like, for me, going into a courtroom and winning. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's an adrenaline rush.
I see, and I don't have time for couponing, but I do need to talk about it with somebody because I don't truly understand. Like, I never cut a coupon out in my life. I get my haircut every month, and they're like, "Well, don't you bring the card in where you can get a free haircut?" I'm like, "No, I'm not carrying a fucking card around with me." I'm like, "I'm not gonna be that guy." And I go to the supermarket. I'm like, "Any coupons?" I'm like, "Nope, never do." Proud of it, but I'm also an idiot. So staplerconfessions.com, and Rebecca, it was nice talking to you. We'll talk to you again soon. Andrew, see you later.
Later, man.
Later.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us an honest review on iTunes. And for more information, visit listenmoneymatters.com. Peach out, home slice.